Good morning. I'm Robert. I'm an alcoholic. I don't have a script or a monologue prepared up here on this stage, so I'm going to have to improvise. You okay with that? May I tell the truth? Great. It's the easiest thing to remember. Thank you, Eric, for having me today. Thank you, everybody. Happy birthday, Noe. No way. Come on. And well, it starts with stopping, doesn't it? Right? What's the difference between clean and sober? Milton says clean is abstinence of mind-altering substances, and sobriety is soundness of mind, body, and spirit. How can I get one without the other? What do you do when you rely on coping mechanisms and survival skills and drugs and alcohol, which seem to make all the good things in my life enhanced and great and all the bad things nullified? What do you do when my best instincts to get through life safely turn out to be character defects and shortcomings? Makes me angry. Mostly it makes the people that love me angry and frustrated and oh, we're so disappointed in you. Can I keep it real? Am I here to be funny, or am I here to talk about the causes and conditions of alcoholism? Because I know what it's like to suffer from alcoholism. Not a one of you can tell me what it's like about getting high and teach me something about drinking and getting loaded and drug addiction. Not a one of you. But every single one of you can teach me something about recovery. I've learned that the hard way. I was told there's not much to figure out, that more will be revealed. And I said, well, what's the difference? And the difference, I was told, is that when I have revelations, it dawns on me. It comes into my heart. It's like a spiritual intervention, and I must apply that prayer that I've said 1,000 times but never put into action to have those epiphanies. The difference between what I can change and what I can't. There's so many things that I cannot change. The past, people, places, things. And I can't change my character defects. I can't. Maybe you can, but I can't. I need to get changed around here. I need a spiritual intervention on those. And I need a fire lit under my ass for the things that I can change. Take action. Milton said, you know what AA stands for, kid? And I said, yeah, Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, not in your case. Attitude and action. You have a horrible attitude and you're not doing anything about it. You keep coming to AA to try to get, and all you keep getting is loaded. Damn, he's been spying on me. He's been watching me. 87 to 2007, countless vain attempts. I used to be deathly ashamed of that. Deathly ashamed of that. And today I'm not proud of it, but I'm no longer ashamed. You see, because when I started to do the step work, I started to have those epiphanies. I started to have those revelations, and I started to understand the causes and conditions of my alcoholism and what was my fault and what wasn't. In the book, it says the alcoholism is not my fault, but I have to be accountable for my recovery. That's not fair, or it doesn't feel fair. I was also told that there's nothing more ridiculous than an alcoholic judging another alcoholic. So stop judging me right now, will you? You see, I grew up in LA and I had a blast. Man, I loved alcohol. And I loved drugs and I loved the lifestyle. And I reveled in it. I didn't just partake, I wasn't one of those guys that got drunk a few times, got in trouble, and then my parents sent me to rehab. I had a long career that started from a very young age, growing up in the 70s. I'm 59. I was born in 1965, and through the 70s, hallucinogenics and weed and drinking and cocaine and quaaludes was all like what my heroes were doing. It's what the people in my own home were doing. It's what the people I watched on the silver screen were doing, or so I saw. It was all perception, right? And I grew up with a lot of friends, and there was loyalty amongst friends, and we had each other's backs, and part of that was fighting together and getting loaded together and supporting each other. And I wasn't drinking lonely in the beginning. I was drinking with a crew. And we ran the streets of Hollywood and downtown LA and Venice Beach and Santa Monica. And man, it even went out international. And it started out in the beginning in hotels and wound up in motels, if you know what I mean. And then in my car, and then on the steps of another rehab with my head in my hands, wondering what the hell happened. And everybody that loves me going, "What are you doing? What up? Are you doing? You got all these attributes. You got all these people that love you. You got all this talent. You got this great career, man. You're funny and you're tough and you're an exciting guy. And why do you find it necessary to go MIA and disassociate from everybody that loves you and shirk responsibility and break the hearts of those girls that love you so much?" Because, man, of trauma, is that what it is? I mean, you don't know what it's like to walk a mile in my shoes. How dare you judge me? The audacity of the alcoholic to point the finger while three are pointing back. How am I going to give up one thing to open up my life to everything? Why am I jeopardizing everything to hold on to one thing? Because it used to serve me. Oh, it was my best friend. Sneaky little child going out and smoking a little weed that turns into a couple of drinks, that turns into cocaine, that turns into the whole deal, man. And after a while, that pain gets unbearable. Fun with problems, dire consequences. It's still worth it to this alcoholic. It's still worth it for a long time. Stubborn to the end. 87, I got here and things got good, man. Like, on the outside, I was jamming, but on the inside, I still wasn't reaping the rewards of God's intervention yet. She came back and they trusted me again. And all of a sudden I started getting work. And, some of the greatest things in my life turned out to be detriments. And some of the things that I thought nothing but nothing good or productive could ever come from that experience turned out to be blessings. Man, have I been wrong in so many ways of how I see circumstances and situations in my life? This is just a big admission because I hope by coming up here and telling the truth and getting real with you guys that I inspire you to do one of two things or both. Is to have your own experience in Alcoholics Anonymous through the step work so that you don't have to rely on what people say from podiums to keep you sober. And the other is to help somebody else and to pass it on, pay it forward, which I didn't know was the great gift around here. I thought getting was the gift. Getting help, getting sober, getting clean, getting trust back, getting the judge to have leniency. But the giving was what I was missing. What can I contribute? What can I pack into the stream of life? How is it that I know deep down in my soul that I have so much to give, but I keep listening to my mind and my spirit fight over the right thing to do. I would say to Milton, I would say, man, I don't know what to do. He'd go, you know what not to do, kid. I say, oh, God, this guy's going to bust my balls. I'm having trouble with the God thing, Milton. It seems like you're having more trouble without it. Click. What do you mean? Come over and I'll tell you. I got direction when I got here in 2007. 5, 6, 7. That's my sobriety date. It's the best sobriety date. It's because it's mine. Ooh, my sobriety date is so good. Because I know what it's like to suffer from alcoholism. And they said, you're not allowed to share on a group level for about a year. We want to know how to fuck up our lives. We'll ask you to share. But we're very interested in what you have to say at cookies after the meeting. We want to know what you think and how you feel, because when it comes to getting clean, what you think and how you feel is irrelevant compared to what you do. But we need to look at what you think and feel so that we can let you know what the next right indicated actions are. Because we're alcoholics too. We don't have any letters next to our name, but we know how to be clean and we know how to stay sober. And so the three amigos, Bob Palmer and Bob Horrigan and Milton Dykus, took me under their wing, Dutch rubbed me, kicked me in the ass, and loved me. I could cry about it right now if I want to. Assessing constantly trauma as a boy. Now I assess, where do I fight? Where do I flee? Where do I engage? Where do I disassociate? Where do I show off? Where do I need sympathy? Maybe if everybody that I'm hurting feels sorry for me, maybe they'll get off my back. Not so, now that I'm a father of four, and now that I've seen lots of people that I love go out, hurt themselves, hurt others, die trying. Oh, the ripple effect that we cause when we're drinking, and the ripple effect that we can create when we are in recovery is incredible, astounding, and fulfilling and purposeful. And the other is empty. Yeah? See, I'm really saying, without telling you specifically, I grew up with a bully. So it made me fighting mad. And it created horrendous guilt and shame in my life. But on the outside, I would have never let you know, because I was too busy being a star. How can I let these outsides hide what's really going on the inside? What am I going to do, man? Not what do I think about my alcoholism or how I feel about my recovery. What am I going to do? How do I take contrary action? How do I let God intervene in my life when I don't feel like I deserve that? Like I stepped too far over the line. I had such a good relationship as a boy with my higher power. And then turning my back, I felt like it was irreconcilable at this point now. Man, what's more of a travesty? Not knowing how to read, or knowing how to read and never picking up a book? I got all these people helping. I got God constantly, constantly intervening. Unbeknownst to me, I got all these great men and women in my life that are giving me love and support, and that are understanding. And what I'm doing is I'm pushing every way, and I'm pushing out, but I'm just desperately wanting something to come in. And there's my alcoholism extremes in every facet of my life. I love to drink. I can't stand the hangover. I love getting high on cocaine. The come down is a bitch. Heroin, man. Ooh, heroin. Ooh, it feels so good, but kicking dope is not worth it. And then the sexual promiscuity. God, it feels right. Until I got a deal, right? Until I got to deal with real feelings and the truth. And then they say the truth hurts and then it sets me free. Well, when you sit in the sewer long enough, you don't smell shit. So I got used to, being in this place of like this and protection. And it's so hard once I was dealing with this set of tools that were outdated and just absolutely worthless because they used to be so valuable. Man, the tools intuitively that I picked up on, I never thought I'm going to drink because A, B, and C happened to me. It was all instinct, man. And I love the effect produced by alcohol. How does that make me so selfish? Oh, one of the great things that I think really turned me around to do contrary action is those three mavens said to me that why was no longer any of my business. Anytime you ask why, 99.9% of the time, the answer is alcoholism, kiddo. All this is of your own making. Those things that happened to you young were not your fault, but now that you're using them as justification to perpetuate and to hurt others that love you is absolutely on you. The tears come running down my face without my muscles contorting a bit. You know those kinds of tears? The truth tears, when the tears just come running out because the truth hurts. That I've been hurting my mom, that I've been hurting my dad, that I've been blowing my career, that I've been shirking those responsibilities, and now that's what I covet? Oh, that's what dawn on me means. That's what a revelation is. Is this too deep? I mean, I don't know. I could tell a couple of jokes. Your circumstances may be very different. So let's look for the similarities and not the differences, right? When I drink, the phenomenon of craving kicks in, and then I hurt myself and others. And my life is unmanageable. Period. That's all I really need to know. After, going to those rehabs and spending time in those sober livings, I learned, not only what I want, but I really had to like start of what do I not want. That's a great place to start taking contrary action. I didn't have to know what I wanted here. I just needed to be crystal clear on what I didn't want anymore. And I knew what I didn't want. I didn't want to sit in a circle of 30 newcomers telling me what my problem was, that's for sure. That's worse than coming down on coke. 30 newcomers in a sober living. You know what your problem is? I'm like, bitch, aren't you on meth? Start doing those steps and those revelations start to come and I don't have any cop-outs or excuses anymore. And and I get raw and it's inconvenient and it's uncomfortable in the beginning for me. And it says if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, that means I got to be willing to go through some dark to get to the light here. Oh man, do I remember when it was good and it worked? Ooh, that was my ace, man. And it almost killed me. It did a couple times, but that's just another story. Most of the stories that I have, man, are actually pretty unbelievable. The cats that I ran with and the things that we did and the close calls. And when I look back on it, hindsight being 2020, I realize how blessed I've been my whole life without really understanding. That there's a reason that I went through the adversity. And the reason, the best reason to go through adversity is for the triumph. What's the triumph? It's not winning. The triumph is the ability to help others that go, dude, you don't understand. A, B, and C happened to me when I was a kid, and this is my situation, and this is the troubles I got, and this is what's going on with me. And I get to go, I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes, but this is what happened to me, and this is what I did to be free of that. That is so valuable, especially when I run into young men. Men stick with the men, women stick with the women. Old Lenny was right for so many years in those days. You'd say, men stick with the men. And I was like, nah, I ain't going to no men's meetings, buddy, because it might actually work. I might actually get clean. I might actually become sober. I might actually not get what I want. And I remember Milton used to say, I say, man, I relapsed again. He goes, you got to be sober to relapse. You mean you slipped? And I go, all right, well, I slipped. And he goes, well, why didn't you call me? I said, well, if I called you, I wouldn't get my way. He goes, who says? Who says you can't call me and that you can't get loaded anyway? Why don't you just take a contrary action and give me a shot? And so when I started doing that, I felt foolish. When I started to actually go all in the program and start working steps and start taking contrary action and start this phase of letting God intervene to chip away everything that used to serve me, I felt uncomfortable and I felt vulnerable. And a lot of pain was coming up, and I would clench my fist, and I would actually get close to fighting with this dude that was saving my life. And because I was overprotective of something that was no longer working. And I'm not trying to say it in such a dramatic fashion, but it is dramatic. Dying in a motel room is pretty dramatic. And then coming back to life and going to score again is pretty dramatic. And remember I said I know what it's like to suffer? Well, I'm not suffering from alcoholism today. Thank you. Thank you, AA. Thank you. I'm prone to suffering even without a drink. Book talks about that, overexceeded instincts, and even if I'm not getting loaded, the isms can certainly rear their ugly heads. But now there's a solution for that. There's action to take. And the most important thing for me to remember is to never do it alone. The most important thing for me to remember is I'm the guy that plays the tape through and burns it down anyway. I'll remember when my mind and my spirit would argue over what to do next, and the mind would always win back then. The mind would always win. If you go left, ooh, it's going to be ugly. You're going to get loaded. You're going to go out. You're going to score. Everybody that loves you is going to get this. Oh my God, over there, the whole brutality. I'm going to wind up. on Six and Bonnie Bray, no doubt. It's only going to be a matter of a couple of days, even though I was at this Hollywood party, you know, up in the hills, like, and it was all going on. I'm going from one extreme to the other, and it's not going to be long before that happens. And if I go right, I can get a good night's sleep. I can go to a meeting in the morning, exercise, whatever. It'll be all good. Oh, and I won't have to, like, face all those dire consequences. And this is my alcoholism in a nutshell. I'll start crying and go left. And by the time I get that thing into second gear, I roll the window down, I turn the radio up, and I start reveling that I'm about to get loaded. That's the extreme that I can't do alone. I can't do it alone. I gotta take a contrary action. I gotta run it by somebody else. I got to go to God, but before I go to God, I got to go to one of you. That's how I have to do it. There's so many guys that I've called, and I'm like, dude, I got some money in my pocket. I got a little time to kill, and I'm sneaky right now. I got butterflies in my stomach, and I'm about to burn it down, dude. What do I do? And the answers come because my house is in order. You know what that means? And this is what I was taught. You mean I'm being a good boy? No. It just means you're being honest. The answers come when your own house is in order. All you got to have for your house to be in order is honest. I stopped talking to God in some way that I learned when I was a kid. And I started opening up a new dialogue and just being myself with my creator. And more truth came out that way, I discovered. This is what I'm thinking. This is how I feel. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. What do I do? How is now my business? Why is no longer my business? How do I not get loaded? How do I help others? How do I be a better father? How do I serve my queen better? How do I respect? How do I be my best spiritual creative self? How do I let go of all those things that happened before? I don't want to get loaded over shit that happened 40 years ago. I need help. And my heart starts to open up, man. And all of a sudden, I got a lot of good stuff to give. And love and responsibility that I used to push away now is the most important thing in my life. My children. James 20, Charlie's 18, Johnny's 15, and Mary's 4. She wasn't planned. No wonder why my mom used to get so mad at me. No wonder why my dad used to get so flustered with my addiction. My parents never understood my addiction. They didn't get it at all. But how is it that they understood my recovery? They just were baffled when I was getting loaded. But when I came here and they saw you guys and they saw me interact here and they watched my life changed, they got it crystal clear, 100%, all in. And And my mom, when she was dying, the last words she said were, "Stay sober, son." Now it's clear. Now it's clear. And it's not so much clear here, it's clear here. And that's what Milton was talking about. That's where I needed the clean out. It's right here, right in my center, in my heart, in my guts, my diaphragm, my solar plexus. All that part that knew the whole time that I was destined for greatness, but here was going, let me pull the rug out from under your feet, really, one more time. Because all those lies you still believe, the lies that they told you and the lies that you tell yourself. Man, I can be so hard on myself. Why am I my worst enemy? Oh, why is none of my business? How do I not be my own worst enemy? Then the answers come because my house is in order. I'm being honest. Man, it is simple. Keep it simple. All those guys, Earl H. and Danny T. and Bob T. and all those guys, they used to do the same thing. Why did I hear it from Milton? Because I was ready. That's all. I was ready. I was ready and crystal clear on what I didn't want. What it was like was fantastic. What happened is I choked. What it's like now, it's a hell of a lot better than it's ever been. That's where it is in a nutshell as well. I'm humbled by what I have gone through as an addict. I'm humbled as what I've gone through as a sober man in recovery. And I'm humbled as a father, and I'm humbled as a son. I'm going to wrap up now. If three frogs are on a lily pad and two decide to jump off, how many frogs are left?
Three.
That's right. I didn't get that one for about 20 years. Milton said, "It's only a decision, kid. Lighten the F up. Lighten the F up. Just make a decision. Just decide that you will allow God to intervene and start to apply the Serenity Prayer in your life, because that's where the rubber meets the road. Let me accept the things that I cannot change, which is a whole process. And the things that I can't, that wisdom to know, it's God's will happens whether I pray for it or not. So praying for the knowledge of God's will is the key," he would tell me. I told you I was going to improvise. I'm really thankful for you guys to listen. I hope that I have inspired anybody, like I said earlier, to have your own path, because that's what I was told. They said, "We don't want you to work the steps. We want you to work yours. We want you to discover the causes and conditions of your alcoholism, not alcoholism. And we want you to have your own relationship, not with the God of our understanding, but your own. And we want you to go out in the world, and we want you to be you and help people that come in your life the way you would help them from your experience. Because all those things that you thought nothing good or productive could come from are now your biggest attributes. Not only do they help you to stay grateful, but they help you to understand and be compassionate and help others who have gone through similar." And I was like, "Oh, wow, you're right. That's what I was missing for so long. Nothing feels better than watching a friend suffer, and then the light comes on and they heal. It's the best feeling in the world. Thanks for letting me share." Now is the time, what, for a Q&A? Is that what happens here now? Does anybody have a question? No problem. Yes. My spiritual life, what it's like today and how I got there. Thank you for that. My spiritual life today is in a absolutely a result of action. So I was told that I pray with questions and meditate for answers. That's a great start, right? What do I do? Where do I go? How do I heal? And then the meditation to stay quiet and allow those answers to come, because my house is in order, because I'm being honest. So I don't see myself on some kind of spiritual level or pedestal. If you got 50 years, you're no better than me. And if you're brand new, I'm on no higher plane than you. We're all equal here. There's nothing more ridiculous than an alcoholic judging another alcoholic. But I claim spiritual progress today, because I remember when my spiritual life was empty. And so every day, what I do is I take action. I pray with my wife, and we do a series of things that I feel opens up my heart. And then we take time on our own to stay quiet and meditate and allow answers to come. And man, do I get good feelings when that comes. I don't have to understand. Sometimes things don't become crystal clear. But what I do is I experience freedom. Adam knows what I'm talking about. Freedom. Freedom from the bondage of self. The only thing that ever got between me and God was me. Not all those others, and not all those others, not all of those others. It was always me. So my spiritual life today is fulfilling and purposeful. Yes.
When you started working with Steps in 2007, what step had a profound impact on you?
Four.
Why?
Truth. So the most profound step that I had when I started over again in 2007, again. Oh, I can't tell you, man, how many times between 87 and 2007 I was getting my ass whooped. And the difference was when I came back with Milton and started working the steps in 2007 and got to four, was I got to see what I was sort of explaining earlier, which was, man, there's so much that's not my fault. And man, there's so much that I'm responsible for. And I didn't realize how I was using experiences in my life to justify my actions. Like a hurt, scorned child. I didn't feel like that, but that's what I was doing. My intentions weren't to hurt everybody else, but that's what I was doing. I wasn't trying to pull the rug out from under my own feet, but that's what I was doing. And so that step was very profound because it brought up, first of all, for me, it brought up all the pain and it brought up all the frustration. And as a result of uncovering, discovering, and discarding in that process, I got funny. I started getting like excited. I started going places, doing things, rolling out. I started to jam again. Career starts coming back. Mom comes back. Brother comes back. Dad's in my life. I meet a girl, man. Like, ooh, it all started clicking. And instead of me taking credit, I just kept utilizing that saying that these guys would tell me, you stay grateful, let us be proud. You stay grateful, let us be proud. So I give all the glory. Ooh, I give all the glory to God. Finally, thank you, big amigo. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Instead of me taking credit because I'm the shit. No, 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 no. Thank you for all of it. The good, the bad, the indifferent. Thank you so much because if those things didn't happen, it would have never brought me to this place I am now. And I could be grateful today because not because of me comparing myself to anybody else, only where I was when I was at my bottom to where I am now. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Yes, I took action. Yes, I did the footwork, but man, I stayed out of the results and I couldn't have written them any better. So, number four for sure. And then it's got to be on the piggyback of 11 and 12 for sure, because that's the payoff, I believe. That's the reward. If it was easy, there'd be no reward. But the fact that it was really difficult, anything in my life that's ever been easy, I've taken for granted and I've shit on it. Excuse my French. But the fact that getting clean and then becoming sober was very simple, but not easy. And if anybody told me that it was easy, I would walk the other way because it's not easy. Questions, concerns, complaints. Yes, sir.
You did a series of things, I think maybe your wife, meditation. Wonder if you could expound on that.
So some of the things to expound on what I do in meditation, some of them are a bit personal, and but all of them include contrary action. And you know the great thing about contrary action is it starts to become not so contrary after I implement it and I stay consistent. When I start doing things routinely, it becomes second nature. It's a lot like performing. It's a lot like acting. It's a lot like singing. You know, Milton would say things like boxers stay in the gym and they spar. They don't just walk into a title fight. You've been busy doing the haymakers and Ollie shuffles for a while. Why don't you keep your chin down and just throw the jab for a while? I love that man. Right? And the same thing with you know, performing as an actor, I would tell other actors, the more that you do it, the more that you stay in action, the more second nature it becomes, the less inhibited you feel, and the more free you are to express yourself. So it's about consistency. It's about physical, mind, body, spirit. In those three areas, if I take action to improve my mind and my consciousness, if I am willing to learn, and if I open my heart to God and allow God to come in and intervene in my life, it doesn't make me religious or a good boy. All it makes me is human. And then when I work on the body, the body, man, is way more important. I spend so much time polluting and hurting my body that once I started to eat a little better and start exercising and start stretching and do things that I love to do, oh, this leads me to something that I think you're gonna like. I'm gonna keep going back to Milton. Clay is my sponsor now, and the reason why Clay is my sponsor is because Milton sponsored Clay for 30 years. And when Milton went to Washington and since passed, rest in peace, big homie, Clay's been my sponsor and he's been moving forward with me on these very things. And one of the things that I loved is when I got clean and I was in the midst of uncomfortable, inconvenient, contrary actions, he would tell me, your main course, your entree is A&A, kiddo. It's recovery. And around your table, you're going to be able to surround your main course with all these fantastic appetizers, family, work, hobbies, things that you love to do. There's room infinitely for all these things to fit on your table. You must have them aligned. There must be a balance. If you start playing the peanut shuffle game with these plates, they all come crashing down. I said, oh, I know that story. You know how many times I've done that where I go, I think I'll put her in the front and move meetings over here. And I'll take this surf trip over here and I put my career all of a sudden, I need to make money or none of it's worth it. And all the plates would just come crashing down. So if I remember to keep that first plate, AA, recovery, family, work, those are my priorities now. I'd love to be able to put family first. It makes me feel good. But if I don't have recovery first, what kind of father or husband am I? So I love that plate analogy. Yes.
Scott Pollack, could you talk about the 8-9-step process and perhaps in particular one particular amends that would be very difficult for somebody like Jeremiah?
Absolutely not. talk about a little bit of the process of the eighth and ninth step. Let me preface it by this. Man, they're in a row for a reason. Man, I'm not ready for eight until I get to seven. I'm not ready for seven until I do one, two, three, four, five, six in a row. I would tell Milton things like, what's the difference between a character defect and a shortcoming? And he'd say, for you, Shortcomings are the things that you can change, and character defects are the things that you can't. One, you need an intervention, and the other, you need some discipline. The wisdom to know the difference, let's work on it together. Let's team up. So by the time that I got to 8, I'm like, man, I'm telling you, the way I feel is more people owe me an amends than I owe people an amends. That's the way I feel, but I can only take care of my side of the street, right? So I started making that list. And what's great about that list is it's kind of like the 4-step in reverse. When I made the list, he told me, do not go across. Do not go across. Go 1, 2, 3. I resent him. I resent her. It's a nice process because you just get to get it out. I resent them and I resent that and I resent me. And you know what? If I'm being honest, I resent you. And I mean, write it on there. All the things that I'd be embarrassed about to really actually tell the truth, I'm going to write it down right here. All the things that I resent. And that would go this way. This is the reason. This is what it affects. My part, blank. I didn't have any part in that. Milton, let's back up a second. Look at it from a different view. Maybe this wasn't your fault. I kind of mentioned this earlier, but do you think that you use this as an excuse to perpetuate and hurt and lose and fail? And I was like, bro, yes, my whole life. That all of a sudden from being blank became one page of truth of how I did that. The same thing started to happen on my 8th when I started to go to my 8th step. And I said, I really need to make right with these people. Forget I'm sorry. I've said that a million times in my life. Mom, I'm so sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. She would say, just you stop with those apologies and do something about it. I don't care how many times you fell. I only care about how many times you get back up. Take action. Nobody, when the shit hit the fan, nobody ever said, what do you think and how do you feel? They always said, what are you going to do about it? Always. What are you going to do about it? That's what we did when we fought too, right? Whenever you got into a fight, you didn't say, hey, man, how do you feel? You go, what are you going to do about it, right? And sometimes when they told you what they were going to do about it, that's when you flee. I think I got time for one more question. Yes.
Get away with things, and if you do, do you justify it?
Do I like to get away with things, and do I justify it? Yes. What I love to get away with now compared to what I was attempting and or obsessed with getting away with while I was getting loaded was night and day, apples and oranges. There's no comparison, yeah? It reminds me, too, of this process of once I become abstinent, circumstances become so much easier. Right away, I get a load off of troubles that is like a ton of troubles go away. Right when I put the plug in the jug, there's that really, really crucial time between clean and sober. And in between, I told you already what I think and feel is irrelevant compared to what I do. It's all contrary action, and I need to make room for God to intervene. But then the feelings come, then reality hits, then the damage rears and shows and reveals, and then I realize how much work I have to do. It can feel overwhelming, and I can think I can't do it, but with the help of great men in my life, I've been able to overcome my own blocks from being a hope to die addict, an alcoholic, it's the same thing, alcohol in all its many forms, to being a man that is healing and is in recovery and is not trying to be a saint, but just trying to improve and not suffer anymore from alcoholism. I think that's my time. Appreciate you guys having me up here today. I guess with that, we'll hear from our trusted secretary.